Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to another episode of Jesus Plus Therapy Sis Podcast. This week's community partners are Cultivate Counseling and Magnolia's Kiss Lip Candy. Be sure to follow them on all social media platforms. And don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe. And hit that notification bell so you can be notified of new episodes of Jesus Plus Therapy Sis Podcast. Hey, 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 welcome to another episode of Jesus Plus Therapy Sis. Y'all know our disclaimer. We record at night. And I don't know why. Why are you acting special over there?
No, acting special.
Oh, the tightness that we feel, y'all. So y'all gonna get these metal voices today, huh?
Yes, indeed.
Y'all gonna get these great. Hey, love.
It's the radio voices.
Quiet Storm.
98. Is it 0.7?
Yes.
98.7 Kiss FM.
Quiet Storm.
Oh, have mercy. Y'all already know. The first 5 minutes, we really just gonna talk about a whole lot of nothing.
We try to wake up. We are trying to wake up. But if you keep rolling with us, we got you. Thank y'all to all the new listeners. We had some new listeners. So we did. I checked the numbers. You know, I checked the numbers. So thank you to all the...
You better call me a numbers person. Shout out.
I have not been concerned about numbers. Praise the Lord.
Well, I hadn't been concerned. It's just that I upload the episodes. So I just look.
Well, thank you for tuning in to our new listeners. We are so grateful that you decided to tune in to Jesus Plus Therapy Sis. And we hope that you come on back. You hear?
Oh, the Southern hospitality in it.
You hear? Yo, if y'all listen to last week's episode, it was hilarious. I didn't realize that we were that silly.
We are so silly. So silly.
I literally laughed my butt off.
Right. So funny. It was hilarious. Like, I was just like, oh my gosh, we need help.
And my thing is, like, you need... so much of our Jesus journey is so serious. You gotta be all the time. Child, sometimes you just need to laugh.
Look, the Bible don't just speak about speaking in tongue. It talks about laughter too. It say laughter, not speaking in tongue, was a good medicine. Yeah? It say laughter is a good medicine. It makes the heart cheery, joyful, depending on what version of the Bible you're reading, huh?
I had a recommendation to read the Voice translation. Have you ever read the Voice translation?
The Black version of the Bible?
No, it's just the Voice translation. Girl, the Voice actually divides the scripture into who is actually talking. So for instance, in Genesis, it says God, and then it gives the scripture to what God said and what Adam said and what Eve said. It is so dope.
Shut up. Where I get that version from?
You have to download. See, I be reading my Bible to all of those who thought gospel music had gone too far.
Oh, let me come back.
Bible Gateway. So you download the Bible Gateway.
Oh, okay.
And you know how you can change your translation. Mm-hmm. And you just select the Voice translation.
I like to hear people read it. And God said, and Adam came in,
And Eve said, and God responded. So yeah, I had to use that in my sermon. And yes. God said again.
But yeah, I've grown. I'm starting to love that translation. You know, my number one translation is the Message, because that's the Hood version. And then my second one is the Amplified, and then my new one is the Voice translation.
Mine's is NLT. Then the Passion Translation. Oh.
Oh, yes, that's good too. The Passion Translation is good. It's really good.
The Passion Translation, they have you stone laid out and you don't even know. And all you read was in Jesus' head. Ah! Ooh, and then the Message. And I'm sure the Voice would be my next.
The Voice is a good translation for those of y'all who think gospel music has gone too far.
See who talking. Some of these names you may not be able to pronounce, but look who talking. Who is giving this lineage? Who is recording the lineage of names we can't pronounce? Who's doing it? Let's see who talking. Okay, y'all.
So tonight, what are we talking about on this episode of Jesus Plus Therapy Sis?
Oh my gosh, y'all know that little dating came and gone. But lately, I've been dealing with couples. And we're talking about married couples. I'm talking about couples dating, couples engaged. Know a couple of couples that have asked me this question. Know a couple of people who are going through some things with their spouses. And the crazy thing is the theme that I continue, or the question I continue to ask is, or being asked of me is, how can you love someone when you don't love yourself?
My God.
So let's talk about this thing about true love and first loves and all these love antics that we have, this follow love and this Aries love and this godly love, right? I'm being super dramatic. Let's talk about this love thing, because I think we have really lost what love is and how and what the foundation of love is, right? And so how can you love someone when you don't love yourself? How can you be like, oh my gosh, that's my first love, but you don't even know who you are? Or how can you say, I'm so in love with him, I'm so in love with her, and you ain't even so in love with you? I'm just asking questions. I just need some answers. I saw you over there grooving the so in love.
Did you listen to the
verses?
Yes.
No, I did not.
Girl. Anyway, how can you say that you love somebody and you don't love yourself?
How can you be madly in love with somebody, but you're not madly in love with yourself?
It took me a long time to get the revelation of that. Because I thought I was out here loving, honey.
Giving you the best that I got. How can we get to that Anita Baker status that you giving the best that you got?
They probably already at the Anita Baker status. That's the best. But they think that it's what love is, based on their definition or based on their family dynamic and their past. They may think that they're loving them the best way that they can, which they probably are, but you can love people better.
But if you ain't loving yourself, how you loving the people? And how do you know what love is? And is your love healthy?
Child, these folks out here giving toxic love.
You got this toxic love talking about here go these flowers, but you just cussed me out 2 seconds prior. On the way to bring me the flowers, okay? You just went slap ham. Yeah, we record at night. Slap ham on somebody. Do they say that? I don't think they do. He done went off. You done set it off to the left, y'all. Set it off to the right, y'all. Set it off, set it off. Oh, set it off. Right? But you talking about I'm madly in love with somebody. Madly in love. What does that look like? You are madly in love. So does that mean your anger fuels the love? What? We be talking, we be saying stuff. We don't even know what we be saying.
You went all the way out there.
I'm just saying, how can you give somebody something you haven't given yourself?
That's a good question. I remember when I remember my first love. Child, I thought I was doing something. I really did think I was doing something. I remember going over and beyond, in my opinion. I went over and beyond, trying to be there, because I knew, upon us meeting or whatever, I had already made up in my mind, hey, this who met when I get in high school, honey, I'm gonna find me a little something, something, little piece of something, tenderoni, you know. And when it happened, I was just like, because I was suffering from the damaged can syndrome. At the time, I didn't know what that was, but
the who?
Damaged can syndrome.
Oh, you're yes. I was about to say, what is this? Listen, you done came up with something new. Yeah, last week, it was about verified, but you didn't use the word verified. What word did you use?
Vetting. So I, you know, when we started, I guess you would call it dating. I don't even know. We started going together.
Mm-hmm.
I found myself just trying to get a boyfriend. So if it was healthy or unhealthy, I didn't know, because I would just show up, be there, make myself available. If he wanted me to do his homework, guess who was doing homework? If he wanted me to take notes in class, guess who was taking notes in class? Like, so little things like that, just to be picked, I guess you should say. And so most of us, when we get into these relationships, we have that pick me syndrome. And when we have that pick me syndrome, our love, we start off, when it comes to like self, we start off as unhealthy, just as individual, because we're trying to find love out of a broken place. So that's kind of how we start off. We start off from a broken place, whether that be, you know, in our family dynamics, with mama, daddy, sister, brother, our family circle. And I actually posted a video in my Instagram story this morning of a therapist who was talking about how our love story actually begins and why we end up needing therapy in the get-go. Because even in our, what she called that, the core family something, whatever. I don't know the technical term. That, whatever. We start off not feeling enough, not feeling adequate. And that inadequacy trickles over into our outside relationships with spouses and friends and this and third. So I just believe that it starts at home. If your idea of love came from a broken place, it's going to automatically
spew into other areas and still be broken.
Interesting.
What's your take on it? Did you have a first love?
Girl, yes, I loved first love.
And what was your first love?
And loved that Negro up until my grandma's death. Yes.
Did he die?
No, that Negro indeed. He just don't, he just crazy. It's heck. I had to forget. I almost forgot where we was at.
Them first loves be about to take you clean up out of here.
Listen.
Baby.
About three or four times, yeah? My first love, I'll say his whole, I was about to say his whole government name.
Please don't.
I'm not going to say his whole government. My first love was Mr. Johnson. Mr. Johnson and I met through my friend who is now deceased, Kuma Nicole Walker.
You didn't get her whole government.
Well, she deceased. That's okay. Y'all can look her up. She's not alive. She's not. Okay. Anyway, so there are two young men who I met through her. One, if we ever get married, if that's the Negro I marry, I know it's her and God. I know it's her and God. Like, it can't be nobody else. It ain't us. Mm-hmm. It's the Lord and her, because she was so determined for us to get married. But he was not my first love. He was just my first date. But my first love, Mr. Johnson and I met in ninth grade through that particular friend. He was very toxic in love. But being who I am, I love hard. Like, it's going to take a lot for you to push me to the edge of not loving you. So I love hard. Some things happened to me and I had to tell him. And I saw him cry for the first time. And baby, that was it. I was hooked. The fact that you were so empathetic that you felt my pain as I told you this situation. I was just like, oh, this is he. He is I. And to this day, I cannot listen to Maxwell Fortunate without hearing his voice.
You know what? I got a song too. My song is Jaheim, Put That Woman First, Girl. When I tell you, that song sets me back a good 15, 16 years.
Listen. Ooh. I set back a good over 20 years. Oh my God. Like, ooh, shot tie. Anyway, so yes, because that was the first song he sung to me when he told me he loved me.
Oh, that's sweet.
It was. And we was eating catfish in the living room.
Catfish?
No, we was eating tilapia. My mom had cooked some tilapia. He came over and that's when he told me. I remember it like it was yesterday, sitting on the couch. And I was like, oh my gosh. And that's when we planned to get married. Like, we planned marriage then. Here we are, juniors maybe, sophomore juniors. I tell him how I want to go to college, where I want to go. I was TSU bound, Tennessee State University. I was about to go to this good HBCU, go pledge, go have this Black experience, because I've been to these predominantly white schools my whole entire life. And what broke me was he ended up going to he said, I think I'm going to the Navy. And I was like, oh, okay. Not knowing that this Negro had enlisted into the Navy. And the following week after, he was gone. It had to be our senior because he was gone the following week. Mm-hmm. It was very, and it was dramatic from that point on. It just went downhill to the point he does not, that's the thing he cannot forget. As matter, as many times I asked for forgiveness for my part in how I responded to him, not telling me that he's going to the Navy and not thinking of me and not knowing the whole story, he has not forgiven me, and that's been over 20 years.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Like, he holds me to that place. He holds me to that place, and he has an addiction because of that place. Well, probably multiple places, but when it comes to me, that's the place he holds me in to agitate his toxicity in language and tone and tag. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Well, I'm a lot like you in that way that I love you until I hate you.
Ooh.
I felt that thing.
I did not.
I felt that thing. I love you until I hate you.
Well, then we know you don't have the love of God, because God says you cannot.
But that's essentially, I've gotten a whole lot better. Okay, let me just put that out there. I've gotten a whole lot better, but that's usually how it happens. Like, I love a person to the point where I don't like them no more. And when I don't like them, like, they could be on the other side of the road on fire. And baby, I act like the woman with no eyes and ears, minding my business. But I think that's because of the way that I was raised. I watched my mom be a giver, be a caretaker, be all of those things, and give. And so I guess subconsciously, it was ingrained in me to give. I don't think I've seen my mom receive in the amount that she's given. But
I don't think she'd be open to receiving the amount that she's given either.
I think she's getting there. She
right. I think she's getting there now, but I'm thinking when you were younger, she probably
wouldn't. No. But and I think even thinking back, like, I'm sitting here thinking back to those years, and I'm like, so much of that, those relationships was so unhealthy.
Were they unhealthy because you didn't love you and know who you were?
Absolutely.
So sidebar, based on word, can we say that we love those people?
No, it was not love. And I did not realize that until maybe 2019, that I wasn't operating in what love was, and that I did not, know what love was. So actually, all of those years that I had invested into those people, that was not me investing my love. That was me investing my ego.
Mm.
And so that's what changed. I think that's what shifted the way that I love. Mm. Because I realized, like, I'm not loving these folks. Yes, I say I love you. One out of habit, and one because of the feeling that I have when I'm around you, or however that may go. But I realized that I wasn't really loving them. Not out of brokenness, I wasn't. Not the way that they should be loved. And I think it came from me literally getting a revelation from 1 Corinthians 13, where it says, love is patient, love is kind. And it was a translation that I read, and I can't tell you what it is right now, but this part hit me. It said, love suffers long,
mm-hmm,
while still remaining kind.
Mm-hmm.
And that, when I read that for the first time, it was like a light bulb went off in my head. And it was like, Cynthia, like, if you're really operating in love, like, irregardless to what this person does to you, says to you, how they treat you, whatever the case may be, your love should suffer long, which means, in my mind, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that's in season, out of season. whether it's good or bad, whether they're hot or cold, it suffers long and it still shows up kind. It still responds.
Oh, yes. In love. Yes and no. So okay. It simply means love is consistent.
Yes.
Right? It just simply means love is consistent. And even in the inconsistent moments of the other person, you remain consistent. The kind part is the consistency. I still remain in the promise that I created with you, the covenant I created with you, whether in marriage, whether in friendship, whether in dating, I still remain consistent in my love. My love grows. So kind, it grows. It doesn't create chaos. It doesn't create fault or a blame. It creates a place of you, a vulnerability. I remain vulnerable. I remain aware. I remain transparent, right? So that's what that kind means in that translation, that you remain transparent. You may remain vulnerable. You constantly live out of the love of God. Kind love, that's not anything about you. And I think a lot of times what we don't realize is love is not a strength that we carry. It's a love that is a strength that we tap into through the power and authority of God. And a lot of people love from their will and not God's will. That's good. So when I ask how can you love someone when you don't love yourself, that means when I'm saying about yourself, I'm not talking about selfish love. I'm talking about you finding yourself in God and loving that space, right? And so let's take it from a therapeutic perspective. Let's look at it from let's look at from another lens. In order for you to have healthy mental health, you have to invest in healthy mental health. In order for you to create boundaries, you must have boundaries with you. In order for you to be empathetic, you must have empathy towards you. And so a lot of times people are asking for these things. Oh, I want to feel wanted. I want to feel secure. I want to feel assured. I want to feel confident. I want to feel bold. I don't want to feel anxious. So here's the thing. In order to not feel those things, you have to be those things for you. You have to be bold for you. You have to be brave for you. You have to be courageous for you. Because anxiety, the opposite of anxiety is courage. And so you have to have the courage to know that you are in a place or a position that you can be it, but not in your own strength, but through the strength of God.
That's good. That's good. But yeah, I mean, it really dawned on me in having that moment to myself. And the Lord always speaks to me while I'm driving in the car. And so I literally was having a conversation with God and he was just showing me like, Cynthia, you have not operated in love. You've literally been operating out of ego. And I was just kind of, it jarred me for a moment. And I was just kind of like, well, Lord, you know what? You might be right. You might be right. And so from that moment until this one, I've tried my best to lead with love and love myself in a way that it literally, sometimes on accident, spews over into everything else.
So can we examine it before you go further?
Okay.
You said, I love myself to the point. Why when I say love yourself, why don't we say and we pursue God? Why isn't pursuing God that love? Not saying you. Why isn't loving us is not equated to us pursuing God, the action of, like, in order to love us, we pursue the person who loved us first.
One, some people don't even believe in God.
No, we're not talking about the some people. I'm talking about you in particular.
Oh, me? Because I've never equated the two together.
Mm. Okay.
You know, that's why I don't, you know, use it that way. But maybe I should, but I just don't. To me, I feel like loving God and loving myself is two separate entities.
And how many more believers feel like that? They are not two separate entities.
True.
Right? But how many believers feel like that? Like loving me and loving God are two separate things. Are you not in the likeness of God?
Absolutely. I was created in the likeness of God. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells me so. But we have to get to a point in our journey where we take that head knowledge and make it heart knowledge. And just because it isn't heart knowledge as of yet doesn't necessarily mean that we don't see ourselves that way. I think it's a part of the process.
So what's salvation? So what's salvation?
Salvation is being, you work towards your salvation every day. It's a process. Mm-mm.
When we offer Christ to people, what are we saying to them?
Did they say Jesus died on the cross? Okay. For their sins.
But what else is there? So we're giving them freedom. We're giving them new life. Mm-hmm. But we're also bringing them back to the originality of who they are, which is love first. The cross is nothing but a reflection of love. It's a reflection of exactly what you just said, of toxic love. Right? There was toxic love to get to that cross. There was some toxicity that got to the cross. There were some family issues before Jesus got to that cross. Yeah. There was some dysfunction that took place.
Yeah.
The man that raised Jesus ain't the same man who helped conceive Jesus.
True.
As a matter of fact, he was going to reject Jesus and his mama. And sent him on his way, had an angel that came and spoke to him, got him together, right?
True. So basically what you're saying is we work, basically when we come into Christ and we are the new creature, he is basically taking us through the process of, I don't want to say reversing, but it could be reversing all of the years of toxicity. Getting us back to the original intent, maybe. No,
I'm saying that when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, salvation is not the first thing you accept. In order for you to truly accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you literally have to accept his love first.
But people don't think that when they go up there to the altar. Let me accept his
name. I didn't say people think that, but I'm saying that's the reflection of salvation first. Salvation, the whole agenda of the cross was because of love.
Absolutely, I agree with that.
And so when you're accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're accepting love first, freedom second, everlasting life third.
And I think that for most believers, they go for freedom,
right?
But not necessarily love.
But here's the thing: then you miss the totality of the cross.
Hence, the world that we live in.
And I'm saying this, and I'm not saying this that we not know, we not preaching to the choir, but these are the thoughts of how can you love someone when you don't love yourself? If you have not accepted the totality of the cross, then how can you love someone to the cross?
That's good.
But going back to what you said, love is consistently kind, consistently vulnerable, consistently available.
But most of us, and I can attest in areas of my life where I haven't been consistently vulnerable with myself.
Correct.
I haven't consistently what consistently showed up for myself, consistently taking up my space for myself. Mm-hmm. There's areas of our lives where we don't even love ourselves enough to say no.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even love ourselves enough to put on nice clothes every day, or to wash our face, or to comb our hair. You know, it's little things like that. And I think that comes from us chasing freedom and not receiving the love.
That's good. Yeah. So as we wrap up, what are we leaving? What are the nuggets that we want our audience to chew on? What nuggets do you have for the audience to chew on?
Girl, I just gave my major nugget. No.
Give me three.
Ooh, my Lord. I would say number one is examine your life in your ships, your relationships, friendships, romantic, platonic relationships, even though, you know, colleague relationships, all of the relationships, and see, are they driven by ego or are they really driven by love? Examine them and see, do I really love this person, or is this just my ego needing to be stroked? That's number one. Number two, I would say, definitely start small when it comes to receiving the love of God. I know God is a big God and he's a gracious God, but sometimes when you haven't loved yourself for a while, his love can be very overwhelming. And I would say, look for the small things. Many times we look for grand when really God loves us in small ways. And it's the million small things that make the difference versus the big green things. He loves you by making sure that he wakes you up every morning. He loves you by allowing you to breathe fresh air. He loves you by, you know, through the way people love you. So I would definitely say that. And then two, read your word. Read your word to find out how much he sacrificed to give you that freedom. And in you studying how he sacrificed to give you that freedom, you'll find that his love is enough. His love is enough. He is enough. And by him being enough, you'll be enough. And then when you become enough, you'll love always on full.
Yes.
That's what I would leave with y'all. It really, when I talk about love, I get real. It could go deeper. That's kind of like surface, but it really could go deeper because love is the greatest thing. It conquers all. It covers a multitude of things. So if I could give y'all something that was real surface, that's that.
I didn't say give you service. I said three things. You decided.
I know, because I don't want to go deep.
So that was you. That you.
I don't feel like going deep right now.
Okay. My three things is one. And so I'm going to give you some therapy and then I'm going to give you some Jesus, right? Because Jesus plus therapy, sis, bruh. One, create a list of where you lack in love and then create a list of where you love greatly. Compare that list and see where the root cause of each one comes from.
Okay. My Lord.
To take your behind to therapy.
Say it again for the people in the bike.
Take your behinds to therapy. Even if it's just for a self-care check-in. Even if nothing is going on and you love great, you want to make sure you're loving great. Going back to what Cynthia said, out of ego, but with consistent kindness. You want to make sure you're not throwing up. You want to make sure that you are digesting. There Ooh, is a difference.
Come on, reflux in the spirit. I seen that thing. Just to show many of you who are suffering from reflux in the spirit.
Love severe, reflux. Love.
Severe love reflux. Oh!
Yes.
Sarabahaya.
I felt it in the shanda. Okay, go ahead.
Severe love reflux. That means you are spewing out toxicity that you've inhaled from somebody else.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Last but not least, stop allowing yourself to be stagnant in love because you're afraid of the consequences.
Go deeper. What would be the
question? I'm trying not to go deep, but she want me to go deeper. When you are stagnant in love, that simply means that someone has shown you the good, somebody has shown you the manifestation of 1 Corinthians 13, and they've shown you the consistent kindness. But because you feel that you don't deserve the consistent kindness that they are putting out because of whatever, not because of what they've done, but just because you don't love yourself, don't get stagnant in it. Because sometimes God will send people to love you back to Him. Mm. So don't get stuck and feeling as though you're not adequate enough to receive the consistent kindness because either you did X, Y, and Z.
And X, Y, and Z, Q, all it. You did. It's okay.
Even if you did a repeat of the same situation. Don't allow yourself to get so stuck in repeat that you miss the growth that you made. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love never boasts, but it does make you grow. And if you're truly trying to be in a place of growth, you got to always be open and aware of love. So those are my three things. You got anything else you want to add?
Jesus is love.
Jesus is love. I know. Okay, I'm sorry.
I love like what you said though. It's really powerful because most of the times we get stuck in what happened when we were in ego. We get stuck in this person didn't love me back in the way that I thought that they should, and we end up sometimes punishing the next person, whomever that may be, for something that happened 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. And so,
years ago.
Listen, that's why I think it's important that you say it. It's important that you say it. Don't get stuck. Don't get stuck.
So my last thing I want to say is grieve love, but don't get stuck in your grief. Grieve love, but don't get stuck in your grief. Going back to what Cynthia said, they may have not loved you the way you felt that you needed to be loved. So you grieve that moment of love, But don't get stuck in your grief. Don't allow grief to overtake the love that you are capable of giving and what you're capable of receiving. Don't get stuck in your grief of love. That is definitely what I hope is you all take away as well. So listen, we give you these great nuggets. Y'all, have y'all noticed that we're like in this 40-minute thing, unintentionally, sometimes intentionally. We've been doing good. We said that our goal was we're giving you 40 minutes of Jesus plus 40, no more than 50 minutes of Jesus plus therapy sis, because we want to make sure that you take time to chew on every nugget in every situation that we give. We want to leave you with something that makes you think, whether it's a funny thought, whether it's a growing thought, whether it's a thought that allows you to research a little bit more. Because listen, we don't know everything. All we're doing is sharing our raw experiences with you. So listen, we'll see y'all next time. We appreciate you. Keep on tuning in, and we'll see you next week on Jesus Plus Therapy Sis. Thank you.